Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from the epistle lesson, as Logan has read to you, as recorded in the first chapter of Ephesians, verses 3 through 14. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Christmas is a time for celebration. We celebrate with family reunions, as we all come together during the holidays to share our unity. We celebrate through the exchanging of gifts as a symbol of our love for our loved ones. We celebrate at parties to generate that feeling of goodwill toward men. Hopefully that goodwill is not too overflowing. But there are those worldly expressions that we see quite often in our world today. And what you have just heard described are actually worldly expressions, and not the actual cause or the actual reason for the season. We are still in the shadow of Christmas, this being the last day of Christmas, actually. The shadow of the Feast of the Nativity is still over us, and soon the light will appear. The light, as you see with the Christ candle, as we enter tomorrow into the season of Epiphany, the manifestation of our Lord and Savior, as you've just read in your bulletin insert. So this brings us to the crux of our message this morning. And as you heard Logan read, you may have heard the word blessing. So thus, this morning we will talk about those blessings in Jesus. It is of great benefit for you that you have received these blessings. And there are two aspects of these blessings that we wish to address this morning. First, as you look at your bulletin insert and the epistle reading, you may note how many different times you hear God working to save you. And secondly, maybe you note His saving work is connected to Jesus over and over and over again. God the Father has blessed you in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing, dear one, is yours, freely given, and it's yours for Jesus' sake. God the Father is holding nothing back from you. It is yours. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is yours. God the Father has chosen you. He has specifically chosen you in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the very world itself. Yes, your heavenly Father has chosen you. And this has been His plan from eternity, to pour out onto you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places for Jesus' sake. Now this, dear one, is very, very good news for you. Not only from eternity, but for eternity, you have every spiritual blessing. In other words, there is not a day that goes by where God the Father will ever, ever consider not choosing you. You're now part of His family. He, Jesus, has saved you. Whether you're male or female, you have the standing as a son in His family. The Son is the heir. So then, you're an heir of His kingdom. And this is His will. It is His will that He might be gracious unto you. In Christ, you have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. You are redeemed and adopted, dear one. And Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, has shed His innocent, pure blood for each and every one of you. Please recall the Holy Gospel. Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, is in His Father's house. It's during the Passover. Joseph and Mary have been looking for Him for 3 days. Some 20 or so years later, Jesus will be the Passover lamb, the sacrificial lamb that will take away the sins of the world, that will take away your sin and my sin. And then He will be missed for 3 days. But He rises. Why? So that you might have redemption through His blood. So that you might have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The Lord has lavished all of this upon you. All of this by His wisdom and grace, making known to you the mystery of His will, according to the purpose which He set forth in Jesus. So therefore, my brother and sister, as we look down the long hallway of history, what do you see? As we look down through history, we see tremendous violence and bloodshed, which makes it very, very difficult for us to understand what sort of God He is and what exactly is He doing apart from the good news of Jesus Christ. Is it little wonder that unbelievers, that non-Christians, find it very difficult to understand what God is doing? They think up all kinds of strange ideas about God. They attempt to read His mind rather than to read His word. And with all this evil as their backdrop, they come to the conclusion that God is not God. Yet, His will and purpose is no mystery to any of you. Because faith that has been freely given to you, beholds your Savior on His bloody cross. That's what the unbeliever is missing. That's what they fail to realize, that they too have been blessed by Jesus on the cross. Their sins have also been forgiven. Here upon the cross is your Father's will and purpose to deliver everyone, the entire world, from sin. True, there is so much that we do not know. But you do know this. God has chosen you before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight for the sake of His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And the Lord has sealed His promise, sealed it with the waters of holy baptism, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Thus guaranteeing to each of you the inheritance that He has won for you in His Son, Jesus Christ. After all, we know from our catechism that it is the Holy Spirit's work as He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies all of you in Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who has called each of you here this morning. It is the Holy Spirit who will call you here to stand before your Lord, and as you receive in your hand His body, and as you drink and place into your mouth His blood, it is the Holy Spirit who reveals to you that this is your Lord and Savior, and that by His body and through His blood, you have the forgiveness of sins. You once again have been blessed in the heavenly places. But wait a minute. The Bible says that God predestined believers in Christ to be in heaven with Him. Therefore, since God has predestined believers to be in heaven with Him, He must also predestine unbelievers to be in hell. In other words, before the foundation of the world, God chose some to be saved, and He chose others to be condemned. If you're one of those who are chosen to go to hell, therefore Jesus must not have died for you. If you've been chosen to go to heaven, then it's obvious that Jesus has died for you. Doesn't that make sense? No. No, 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 no. It doesn't make sense whatsoever, dear one, because it's not true. It's an error. It's false teaching. It's known as double predestination. Maybe some of you have heard it before. How does this happen? How does this kind of teaching come about in the church? It's because too many people try to make sense of God's holy word according to human logic, according to human reason. Our sinful human reason tells us that we must have two options. You can choose one thing or you can choose the other. Maybe you've heard one choice is no choice at all. That's a lie, by the way. Makes sense, though, to our human reason. Since God chooses believers to be saved, then He must also make sense to choose unbelievers to be condemned. What does this reasoning, though, what does it do to the Holy Gospel? What about all these blessings that God has so lavishly placed or blessed you with? The false teaching takes the focus off of Jesus and what He has done upon the cross and puts it on the Father's sovereignty. In other words, a believer is saved because God chose him to be saved, and He used Jesus to get the transaction done. Jesus is just a pawn in God's sovereignty, if you will. However, an unbeliever is lost not because he doesn't believe in Jesus, but because God chose him to be lost. That's what double predestination teaches. That's what this false teaching, that's what it does. It takes the focus off of Jesus and His cross and says that all of God's blessings are yours if you're chosen to be blessed. Yet God's blessings are far, far, far beyond our weak human reason. You cannot, dear one, you cannot force God to submit to your reason or to your logic. Rather, we are to submit to His will. Holy Scripture never says anywhere in here, nowhere, that God chooses people to be condemned. Actually, it says just the opposite. Ezekiel chapter 18, God declares that He does not desire or take pleasure in the death of anyone. 1 Timothy chapter 2, God affirms that He desires all people to be saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God proclaims that Jesus has died for all. And then there's John 3. Oh, not John 3:16, by the way. John 17 and 18. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in Him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son. God does not will that anyone be lost. He offers salvation to each and every person who has lived, who is living, and who will live in Jesus Christ. Those who will be condemned, those who will go to hell, that will happen because they chose to reject Jesus as their Savior. Not because the Father has rejected them before the foundation of the world. And there's one more false teaching that we should address, because you hear it all the time. And it's equally soul-destroying, by the way. It's called semi-Pelagianism or Arminianism, and I know, right over your head. Let me describe them for you, because you hear them all the time. And what it does is it takes salvation out of God's hands, out of these hands, and places it into your hands. A man can choose to reject God. If he can do this, then a man can choose to believe in God. In other words, you can make a decision for Jesus. Makes sense. Makes sense to our sinful human reason, since one choice is no choice at all. What does this do to the gospel? And what does it do to our epistle lesson this morning? What does it do to Jesus and the blessing that God lavishes upon each and every one of you for His sake? This false teaching robs Jesus of all of His glory, and it places all of the glory, all of the work on you. I chose Jesus, and therefore I know I'm saved. Maybe. I hear it all the time. I know I'm saved, but there's still that. I'm not really sure. You see, dear one, salvation must be 100%. If it's 99.9, then you're not saved. Again, Arminianism, thinking that you can save yourself by making a decision for Jesus, removes many, many things from our Lord, and it places it on your decision, upon your commitment, upon your dedication, upon your faith, and all of these, dear one, will never, ever save you. Only Jesus can save you and has saved you. So what if your decision isn't sincere enough? Are you lost? Can you be sure that you're truly committed to Jesus? After all, Jeremiah tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. What about all those times when you mess up? It's called sin, by the way. Does that say that you're not sincere? That your commitment, your dedication, your faith, your devotion, your decision wasn't good enough? So in response to this false teaching, rejoice. That sounds odd. No, you should rejoice. Rejoice to declare God. God has blessed you beyond all that you could even imagine. And do not force Him to submit His will to your sinful human logic. The Bible never ever says that you can choose Jesus. It's just not here. Instead, Ephesians chapter 2 and Romans chapter 5 make it quite clear that you were born dead in sin. A dead man or a dead woman can do nothing to make themselves alive again. Yet Jesus has died for you. He has redeemed you by His blood. He has forgiven you of all of your sins and lavished His grace upon you. It is Jesus who comes to you in the waters of holy baptism and gives you newness of life. It is God who makes you alive. Therefore, you didn't make the decision for God. He made the decision for you. It is He who has chosen you, not you who have chosen Him. This, dearly beloved, is one of the great gifts that God has offered to each and every one of you. This is important for us. Our Lutheran theology holds purely holds purely to this gospel message, that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. God's blessings are beyond human reason and can never, ever satisfy human logic. Faithful one, always keep your focus on Jesus and His cross. These are the hands that have saved you. This is the man who has done the work for you. This is the one who has come to you, who even comes to you today and freely gives you body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, unto life and salvation, and the strengthening of your faith. That's your great joy today, that you have been blessed in the heavenly places by what God has done for you. And these blessings, my dear one, is 100% certain. There is no doubt whatsoever that Jesus has done this and will continue to do this for you. Thanks be to Jesus. Lastly, for you there is no doubt. There can never be a doubt that you have been blessed in Jesus Christ. For Christ's sake, you have certainly been forgiven of all of your sins. For Christ's sake, you are His. You are His forever. And not only are you His forever, but also your dear child, who is maybe across the road, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle. They are a testament to us that what faith does is that it focuses us upon Jesus and Him alone. And in Jesus Christ, you have life and you have salvation. Thanks be to Jesus. You've been blessed in Him. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.